And we return 7 minutes past 1 o'clock. It's today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper with you on this Monday afternoon. Well, we begin with a psychologist who's researched and written about women and decreased sexual desire. She's found that 1/3 of women report that they suffer from it. Of course, we're used to seeing oodles of ads about men for Viagra and Cialis and such. And drug companies will soon be marketing, quote, desire drugs for women. Joining me now is Dr. Lori Mintz. She's a practicing psychologist and associate professor at the University of Missouri. She's written A Tired Woman's Guide to Passionate Sex. And she joins us from Columbia. Welcome to you, Lori Mintz.
Thank you.
So 1/3 of women say they lost sex drive. I suppose motherhood is a factor in that.
Absolutely, yeah, and 1 in 3 women, that's an average from some studies. Some studies find it even more. Some studies find as many as 54, but the largest scale study says 1 in 3, and motherhood is often the culprit that begins low sex drive, but often women never recover that drive, even as their children get older.
I suppose it's also dependent on age and the length of time being married.
Absolutely. Age comes with some changes in one's body and that do naturally decrease sex drive, but that's not the whole story. The biggest culprit in women losing their sex drive does seem to be stress. In a study, large study of women, when women were asked, what is the number one reason that you feel you've lost your sex drive, they say, I'm too tired and I'm too stressed and I'm too busy.
So a woman who's has maybe 2 or 3 kids, and she's also holding down a job, and then she gets home, and the last thing on her mind is activity in the bedroom.
Absolutely, and that's exactly a quote I've heard from many, many women, that when I lay down in bed at night, the last thing on my mind is that I just want to go to sleep. I'm exhausted.
Is there also a factor of just boredom of kind of the same old, and the same rituals? And
absolutely. For some women, that they may mistake being too tired for sex in terms of being tired of the sex that they're having. And novelty is a proven in research and clinical practice, and I'm not talking novelty outside the marriage, I'm talking about novelty within, you know, your long-term partner. Adding novelty can increase one's sex drive. We're motivated to things that are new and interesting, and we're less motivated towards things that we're used to.
Now, in the beginning of your book, you tell your story. Tell it to our listeners.
Absolutely. Well, I have 2 daughters, and upon the birth of my first one, my sex drive decreased, but I knew that was normal, part of motherhood. A few years later, I had my second daughter, and my sex drive went completely and totally underground. And I was concerned because, as a psychologist, I know how critically important sex is to marital satisfaction and overall happiness and well-being. And so I started talking to people, and what I ended up discovering was that almost every woman I confessed my lost desire to said, oh, me too. What do I do about it? And so I began to read all the research and the self-help books and found that there was actually currently no treatment that was proven effective for low sexual desire, even though it's the number one problem that women bring to sex therapists. So I set about designing my own treatment program and found it successful for myself, my friends, eventually wrote it up into a book, and actually recently have run a study on the book and found that indeed women who complete the treatment outlined in my book, their sex drive increases by about 60%. So what started as a very personal problem ended up a treatment program with beginnings of proven effectiveness.
Our telephone number, if you'd like to join in, that's 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-WLRN. And also we'll take your email, that's radio@WLRN.org. We're speaking with Dr. Lori Mintz and discussing her book, A Tired Woman's Guide to Passionate Sex. She's a practicing psychologist and also an associate professor at the University of Missouri, Columbia. Dr. Mintz, in the book, I came across an area where you talked about that people should, who are suffering this, or women who are suffering this, should have scheduled sex. And that kind of sounds mechanical, like changing the AC filter or something.
And actually, your response is a very typical, when I, male response, to be very honest, when I present this to couples, the women usually say, yes, that's exactly what I want and need to do. And the men say, how horribly unromantic. And what, basically, in the young days of courtship, especially when you're not sharing children and finances and you're even living apart, actually sex is also planned and scheduled and orchestrated, but it's done so well we mistake it for spontaneity. And I often ask people, think about when you went out on this date, or you knew things were going to kind of end that way, didn't you? Well, yes. Well, once we're living together, married, exhausted, sharing chores and children, then you have to go back to planning it, because if it's not on the calendar for busy couples, it's not going to happen. And I encourage couples, instead of thinking of this as scheduled sex, to think of it as a tryst. The definition of a tryst, while we often think of it as extramarital, really is simply a planned meeting between lovers. And you can, if you start having trysts in your marriage, it does two things. The anticipation builds the energy for tired women, and also it takes away that tension that many couples feel of, or many women report to me of, oh, is he going to want to do this tonight? I'm too tired. And it really does help couples get through this rough period of exhaustion, stress, and low sex drive.
Is there a brain chemistry shift? I mean, when we're young and in love and the dopamine's going and the hormones are flowing, and obviously we can't keep that up over an extended period of time.
Absolutely. That is very true. And that's why so many times people think and long for those early days, because there is a lot of brain chemistry involved, that we lose that as time goes on. Yet we expect it to be the same. Other changes of age, you know, I spoke with someone who was on the high school football team the other day, and he's 60, and I said, do you expect to be able to just join the team and do it like you used to? Well, no, of course not, you know. But we expect, because it's so breathtaking, our sex to stay the way it was early on, and it doesn't. But that doesn't mean that it can't be just as satisfying as we age, and we have to do things to get those brain chemicals flowing again. And there's much research showing that that sex and affectionate encounters do stimulate those chemicals flowing in one's body once again.
Dr. Mintz, give us an update on where we are on female desire drugs. I haven't seen any advertisements for them yet, but I know they've been researched. Where are we?
Yes, that is an interesting question, and many people even believe that desire drugs are an example of the pharmaceutical company turning a normal life event into a disease for profit. But where we are now is that there's many drugs that can be found on over the counter, et cetera. But in terms of prescription, testosterone is the major hormone responsible for women and men's sex drive, and it is something that is allowed by the FDA to be prescribed for men. They can be prescribed testosterone. Many women with low sex drive are being prescribed testosterone, what's called off-label, by physicians. And it is not approved by the FDA. It may eventually, I've been reading some things, but the scary thing is that it has many side effects: hair growth, acne, liver damage, and the scariest, there was one study that found that it increased women's chances of breast cancer when used for just a year. So that's one that's not approved but currently being used. And another drug was just released by a German drug company, or a study was just released by a German drug company in November 2009, flibanserin, and it was originally tested as an antidepressant because it blocks serotonin and triggers dopamine. it didn't work for depression, but they found that it did increase sexual desire, so they've done a study on it. But again, many psychologists and physicians are quite concerned about the notion of using a drug that changes brain chemicals to increase women's sex drive when really there are things, stress reduction, touching exercises, communication exercises, TRIS, that have no side effects that are effective.
So we could wind up with the Viagra advertising on the NFL and this flibanserin advertising on Oprah and Dancing with the Stars.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because, you know, I think, you know, people want, and I understand that, a quick fix to a problem. But often these, you know, we've found with Viagra even that, you know, it stops working after a while, often, and the problems that were there to start remain, the relationship problems, the stress, you know, those kind of things. So I tell people, you know, why not try a cup of warm milk first? Would you try insomnia pills right away, or would you take a cup of warm milk first that has no side effects?
We're speaking with Dr. Lori Mintz. We're talking about her book, Tired Woman's Guide, A Tired Woman's Guide to Passionate Sex. Doctor, stay with us. We're going to take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you.
And we return 20 minutes past 1 o'clock. It's today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper with you. And we're speaking with Dr. Lori Mintz. She's a psychologist and associate professor at the University of Missouri. And we're discussing her book, A Tired Woman's Guide to Passionate Sex. Dr. Mintz, is there a website associated with the book or you?
Yes, there is. It's www.drlorimintz.com with Lori spelled L-A-U-R-I-E and Mintz spelled M-I-N-T-Z.
How about women who are post-menopausal?
Mm-hmm. That is a whole interesting topic that... What many, many women lose their sex drive with menopause. And when we talk to women or look at the research on that, some of that is due to the effects of menopause, hot flashes, vaginal dryness, those sorts of things, things that just don't go well with a sex drive. But there are, you know, some things that women can do to get over those symptoms, and then it seems that their sex drive comes back. But the most telling study I have found is that hormones don't tell the whole story. Often women who are postmenopausal, who have new partners, report no decrease in sex drive.
And no fear of pregnancy.
Exactly, exactly. So it goes back to that novelty thing that, so a lost sex drive is not a sure thing. It doesn't have to come with menopause.
Again, our telephone number is 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-WLRN, and email, that's radio@WLRN.org. Elizabeth in Boca. Hey there.
Hello. I was wondering, Dr. Mintz, whether you studied homosexual women as well, and whether they had a decreased sex drive as much as heterosexual women?
That is a fabulous question. I must be very honest with you. I wanted to write my book for both lesbian women and heterosexual women, but because there is some different issues that lesbian women face, I decided to gear this book towards heterosexual women and hopefully write a follow-up book. But I can tell you two things that I have spoken with many, many lesbian friends and clients, and they are reporting the exact same decrease in sex drive as long-term heterosexual couples. And in fact, sometimes some of the lesbian women I have spoken with say that they actually believe that sometimes it's even exacerbated, that things are even worse in terms of sex drive in a long-term lesbian relationship because the partners become so close that they're like sisters, and the whole erotic charge goes out of the relationship. I can also tell you that I've had a few lesbian couples say that they read my book, even though it's just geared towards heterosexuals, and they skipped the parts that didn't apply, and that they found the tips useful, because some are universal, spending time together, touching, exercises, communication, trysts, that sort of thing.
Thank you for answering my question.
Sure.
Okay, thanks for your call. Doctor, what about just faded attraction? The husband winds up with a beer belly, and there's certain personal habits of his that are just a big turnoff. Are you kind of just stuck there?
Well, that is an excellent question. It is one I address in my book, and that does happen. People's physique changes. People sometimes stop taking care of themselves, and therefore the sex attraction decreases, which is different than a decreased sex drive. And, you know, women or men who say they've lost their sex drive, they ask themselves, do I feel attracted to other people but just not my spouse? That's a little diagnostic that it really is decreased attraction. People often feel guilty for that. And what I tell clients and what I say in the book is that we have to realize that attraction is a legitimate part of sexuality, and that if you no longer feel attracted to your spouse because of a beer belly or other things like that, that what you need to do is to communicate. And I can give clinical examples of several couples who take a deep breath, learn to talk, come to my office, and eventually say, if you start exercising and lose 40 pounds, I want to have sex with you again. And sometimes the person makes those changes and some things are fine, and sometimes the person doesn't. And then both partners have to grapple with what does that mean for the relationship.
If our sex life is seemingly in a rut, do many men use the expression that, you know, I'm not a mind reader?
Absolutely.
If she'd tell me what she wants, I would do it.
Absolutely.
Within reason.
Yes, and you are talking about what I believe is the number one thing that people can do to improve their sex drive is to communicate. In my book, I say communication is the bedrock to make your bedrock. People are not mind readers, and we are not born knowing what to do, and our tastes change, and we need to get comfortable talking about sex, telling each other what we want in and out of the bedroom, and I give several tips for doing so in my book.
I've got James in Miami. Hey, James, I'm a little short on time.
So you're not going to take my call?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay.
Just make it quick.
All right. I was asking that, does religion and the way a person's brought up have anything to do with their sex drive? Because let's say if we wanted to see something a little bit racy or a little bit, you know, get the motors going, she looks at that as like a taboo, that's not good. And I know it's due to her religion, which happens to be Catholicism. You know, anything you I bring into the bedroom to spice up a 23-year-old marriage, it seems like, oh, no, that's not right. You know, just lights out, in the dark, missionary, and that's the way it's supposed to be. And I think that would kill a sex drive.
Absolutely. How we're raised and our beliefs definitely impact what we think about ourselves as sexual beings and how things go in our marriages. And religious issues aren't usually associated with a decrease in sex drive, because often, unless there's a sudden change in religion, but they are associated with long-term issues with sexuality. And I can't think of the name off the top of my head, but there is a couple of wonderful books out there for women and men who have issues around sexuality, based on religious beliefs, and sort of talking about a very sex-positive religious viewpoint.
How about the effect of affairs? Can that regenerate sex drive, or does it hinder it?
I think it hinders it in the long run. Certainly that whole novelty thing, often people will have no sex drive with a spouse, and then in an affair will get that sex drive back. But in my personal belief as a psychologist and based on the research is that affairs are detrimental to marriage. I have seen so much pain and agony around affairs. Not that they can't be recovered from, but certainly that will wreak havoc on one's sex life and intimacy and trust once the affair is revealed and being worked through.
Is there any dietary component to the sex drive? I mean, we've heard for centuries that oysters and business like that.
Well, I think, you know, there's that research is a little unclear, but I don't think there's any one food that's an aphrodisiac, actually. But there is very clear research that healthy eating, exercise especially, increases sex drive. So I know that's not the food question, but exercise increases the blood flow all over the body, including the genitals. That increases sex drive. And also what's called an anti-inflammatory diet by many people increases overall physical health and then has been associated with one's recovering one's sex drive.
So that's antioxidants? And quick email. Would the doctor ever admit that the absence of sex drive might just be a natural state as the lessening of interest in one activity in favor of another? And that's all natural?
Well, absolutely. I think that there is a natural weaning of our sex drive from as we age. I mean, most people aren't as interested as they age and their marriages progress. But there is also very, very clear research that maintaining a healthy and active sex drive and life contributes to
longevity.
And so, you know, there are many natural things that happen to us that we have to work on, and I think sex is one of them.
Okay, Dr. Lori Mintz, I certainly want to thank you. Lori Mintz is a practicing psychologist and professor at the University of Missouri, and her book is A Tired Woman's Guide to Passionate Sex. And once again, the website?
www.drlorimintz.com.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lori Mintz. It's been a great pleasure.
Thanks for having me on the show.
We'll be back with more.